The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening to the Town Hall Review podcast, where we bring you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Our podcast is brought to you through partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's a piece yours truly hosted, and I hope you will enjoy. Many of you know one of the very great sponsors of this program is the Pepperdine School of Public Policy. They also sponsor the Town Hall Review, which many of you hear on these stations across the United States each weekend. And I look forward to talking to the dean of the Pepperdine School of Public Policy this morning, Pete Peterson, who joins me now, because if you could produce graduates out of the Pepperdine School of Public Policy like George H.W. Bush, Pete Peterson, your job would be done, wouldn't it?
Yes, it would, Hugh, and great to be back with you. Obviously, a man of such incredible honor and public service, and certainly at the school, we espouse and promote those kinds of principles. And one of the things that's so great about my job is to see the next generation of public leaders who share President Bush's commitment to public service.
Now, Pete Peterson, what exactly would you have crossed paths? You're too young. Would you have crossed paths with HW? Because I was back one of the Bushies in 78, 79, and 80 when I was working for Nixon. I was volunteering for Bush and rooting for him. But you're too young, really, to have been had a role in the 1980 election, but maybe 88?
I did, Hugh, as a young undergrad and member of the crew team at George Washington University. We, as a fundraiser, and something you could never do today, I actually worked security for the inaugural events in 88.
Oh, no, you could not.
And some great stories I'm sure we don't have time to get into, but suffice it to say, I did work a couple of the inaugural events as a security guard and had a chance to see President H.W. Bush up close. And it was just such a special time to be in Washington, D.C., the transition from President Reagan to President Bush. But President Bush was the first president I had a chance to vote for. I was
you and Paul Ryan.
Reagan.
That's what Paul Ryan said yesterday. And you're like Paul Ryan, about the same age. But I got to tell you, this is not in the script. Every day I walk along the Potomac, every day, and I see those crew teams out there in all weather, and I think to myself, these people are crazier than the people up in Washington, in Cambridge, because they didn't, the river, they wouldn't freeze in the middle of the winter. Did you row 4 years at GW?
I did. I didn't miss a sunrise in 4 years of my time here at GW.
You are crazy, man. That is my brother did 2 years on lightweights, but that is something. Was GW good?
We were good. Yeah, no, I must say the program continues to be a fine program. And as somebody growing up in high school, I really didn't know much about the crew team. But when I came down to GW, I had some friends on my floor in the dorm there say, you're tall and skinny, you ought to try this. And one thing led to another, and it was 4 years of really special time and friends that I have to this day.
I'm talking with Dean Pete Peterson of the Pepperdine School of Public Policy. One last question. Have you read Boys in the Boat? Of course you have, right?
Oh, absolutely. Actually, my wife and I read it together, and I understand there's a forthcoming movie on that book. It's just an incredible American story.
It is.
Really, it's a great book.
Yeah. Fetching Mrs. Hewitt and I listened to it when we were driving from California to Colorado a couple of years ago, and I recommend people listen to it. Now, Dean Peterson, one of the reasons I want to talk to you, in addition to George H.W. Bush and his passing, is because I look up and I see my beloved Orange County went red for my entire 28 years there, and I leave 2 years ago, and now it's all blue. So I'm really wondering what happened.
Well, Hugh, it's a number of factors. If you look at really party registration going back to 2012, you can see the red and blue lines begin to narrow. I mean, you go back to 2012, Republicans in each of the major congressional districts in Orange County held about a 25 to 30% voter registration and turnout advantage. And over the last 6 years, it's narrowed to the point where all of those four major districts in Orange County have been flipped.
Now, when flipped, that tells me that it was a blue tide in California that was on both coasts. But it also tells me it's an opportunity for the Republican Party to go out and recruit some young, preferably 9/11 veterans, preferably minorities, preferably women, and run. Mimi Walters lost, but that district, that's my old district, that's a Republican district. That really is not a tenable situation for Democrats to hang on to. Am I being too optimistic?
I don't think so, Hugh. I agree with your read on this. Obviously, Republicans were hurt not only in Orange County, but you look even in some of the districts in the Central Valley. You look at that Jeff Denham race up north. You look at the David Valadao race, really in the Fresno-Bakersfield area. These are long-standing Republican districts, and I think that it does have to call to attention to Republicans in California that they need to be finding candidates that fit the district. But I do think that Trump just has not played well in California. I don't think he was particularly helpful. And I think in that, Republicans have to find a strategy in California that cuts a different course, that California Republicans are a different breed or a breed apart. And I think in that, you're right. I don't think that this blue wave is sustainable in Orange County and many of these other longstanding Republican districts. But there does need to be an overhaul of the party's identity in California.
I think that may come with an assist from the new governor, Gavin Newsom. And here I look across the Atlantic to France, and I see the yellow vest protests. Yep. 3 weeks of violence, the president of France capitulating this morning, suspending the fuel tax. They went too far, at least too fast, for the people of France in proposing a 5% fuel tax. They ain't seen nothing yet when Gavin Newsom and supermajorities of Democrats run the blue state that is California. They're going to run people right out of there. Maybe they'll come to be a student at the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and enjoy Malibu for a couple of years. But they're not going to stick around if Gavin Newsom puts into place, a 17% income tax? Is that on the books?
Well, I have to say, Hugh, I completely agree with that evaluation. Whenever I speak about the Republican fortunes in California, I always say I'm short-term pessimistic, medium-term optimistic. And the reason that I am optimistic is in politics, you have to compete against something. And I think what's happened to the Democratic Party in California is in some ways a mirror of what you're seeing nationally, which is what I call the Bernie-fication of the Democratic Party. And that power and the discussion around a single-payer plan for the state and various environmental regulations to fight against lower and middle class jobs. I think all these things are on the table, and Republicans need to be ready to respond. But I definitely see the Democrats in their new position of supermajority power in California going overboard.
I hope you're going to go to the Rose Bowl, Pete Peterson, because Urban Meyer announced he's retiring as Ohio State's football coach after the Rose Bowl. So this is your last chance to see America's greatest coach, and they kept him wrongly out of the playoffs. But are you a Rose Bowl goer?
I am, actually. My wife and wife's family are all longtime UCLA Bruins and have had season tickets to the Rose Bowl for decades. It's a beautiful stadium, not only inside but outside. Really a special place.
Well, I hope you're there on New Year's Day to watch Urban coach his last Ohio State game. They haven't named the successor yet. Ryan Day is expected to be the new head coach. Pete Peterson, now can I talk to you a little bit about what happened in the fires at Pepperdine campus? I was watching from afar. What did you guys do when they came over the hill? It looked like it was going to go right to the sea, right through your campus.
Well, that certainly was the pathway of the fire, Hugh. And as someone who's been with Pepperdine for over a decade, this is the second fire that I've seen, but certainly the one that moved most quickly. Pepperdine does such a great job of preparing for these kinds of things. They do a 200 to 300 foot brush cut all the way around the edges of campus that in many ways, when you look out my office window, for example, you see the fire line come right to the edge of the brush cut, and then it completely stops. And it really did provide a beachhead, if you will, for the L.A. County Fire Department, which did such a great job during these fires. to really take the firearm there and kill it.
What did you do with your students, your school public policy students? Do they stay on campus, or do they make a break for the South?
Well, there is a longstanding policy at Pepperdine called shelter in place, which, because Pepperdine built its buildings with fire retardant materials, it's really the safest place to be on the coast. And so many of our students at the policy school were housed in place there, either at the field house or the library. And it turned out to be, as opposed to really sending thousands of people onto Pacific Coast Highway and clogging those roads even further, was really the smart decision.
It makes a great deal of sense. So in terms of the after effect of the election among the students at the School of Public Policy, what is the conversation? You know, what young people don't understand is they're going to bat like Ted Williams about 400. You're going to win about 400. You're going to have 4 out of 10 happy results, a couple of ties, and 4 out of 10 at times you're going to lose. That's basically, this was kind of a tie election because they got a +2 in the Senate, which means judges, but they got smacked around pretty hard in the House. How did the students read it?
Well, I think it's really a moment of opportunity. You know, I think, again, one of the great things about being the dean of a policy school with this, getting to see the next generation of leaders, is to see them react to this and see it as an opportunity to take on positions of leadership and to be a part of the change that needs to happen, starting in California, but also nationally. We send a number of our students to Washington, D.C. every year. And so there's obviously a real time of defining what it means to be a Republican and, frankly, what it means to be a Democrat anymore. And so it's an exciting time to be at the policy school.
Thank you, Pete Peterson, for joining me. As always, a pleasure. You can look up everything you need to know, including his, I'm sure there's a whole story on his time as a crew member at GW. We got to go find that, Pete. Dean Pete Peterson of the Pepperdine School of Public Policy. Always good to check in from the West Coast with him. Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.